along with Mike DeSanti, Jimmy DeFalco, and Matt Rowan. I'm Mac Rosenberg. This is Sports Talk Radio. Nick Gazzola not able to join us today. And just so you know, the outlook for the rest of the season will be, during the week, we'll have our two panelists, as always, Matt Rowan and Mike DeSanti. And over the weekends, Nick Gazzola will be here with us to talk some more football. I know you guys were not, you guys did a show yesterday without me, wrapping up the NFL draft. We're not quite done with that yet. And let's just introduce everybody to the show. Matt, what's going on?
Not much. Pretty much today, we're just going to talk about some baseball. And you know, like we told you yesterday, we're going to do the NFC and the AFC North draft pre-draft post-game.
That's right. Jimmy DeFalco.
I'm doing great, Mac. Mike?
I'm doing good.
Okay. Let's go and start continue our division recaps of the draft. We'll start off with the NFC North, and Jimmy DeFalco will start us off with the Minnesota Vikings.
All right, I'd just like to start the show that Chad Greenway is a good player. Him and Abdul Hodge did really good in Iowa. He was a 17th pick overall, 6'3", 243 pounds. He's going to be a great star in this league. And don't laugh at me, but he might even be the next Brian Urlacher of the NFL for years to come. Their second pick was Cedric Griffin, cornerback from Texas, 6', 198 pounds. I think, you know, he's worthy of a second-round pick, but I'm not sure he'll really do that good in the NFL. But the rest of the players, Ryan Cook, Tarvis Jackson, Ray Edwards, and Greg Blue, you know, they could be rising stars in this league, but I'm not sure about that because I really, honestly, have never seen them play. So that's what I have to say about the Vikings. I just have one more thing. I'm going to give them a grade of a B- to a B+, just because they got a great linebacker in Chad Greenway. Mike?
Yeah, I think they did pretty good in their draft, too. Like a B, as you said, B- maybe. They had three second-round picks, and I think they picked up Cedric Griffin, as you said. I don't think he's going to be a star in the NFL. He's not going to be anything good. I think there's two pretty good mediocre players in Ryan Cook and Tarvis Jackson. And also, I like Chad Greenway. He's very good. He might be a rising star in the NFL. Matt?
Yeah, like Jimmy said, Chad Greenway is going to become the next Brian Urlacher of this league. I definitely agree with him on that one. And then looking at Cedric Griffin, you could kind of make a prediction on him that he could be a Fred Smoot for the Minnesota Vikings. Because Smoot, you know, he's playing for the Vikings right now. He's an average player, and he could teach Cedric Griffin. And I'm going to agree with Mike on giving them the grade of a B- And Mac, what do you have to say about the Vikings?
Well, I'm not sure if you guys talked about this yesterday, but we see a lot of defensive guys going early in this draft, and you notice there's only two offensive players that the Vikings drafted. But, you know, I think Tavares Jackson's definitely going to be a big guy. Who do they have? Yeah, they do have Brad Johnson going for the QB spot, but you know what? They could always use him in the backup, and I'm sure he will get backup. I mean, I don't think they have anybody else who can fill the second string. I agree with you guys. I mean, I'm not a big college guy. I know who Greenway is, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I'll admit it to you guys. I don't know a lot of these players, but I'm sure they'll emerge during the season with a nice young class of rookies. And, I'll say B+, B- around that area. All right, now we're going to move on. We're going to do the Packers now. Is that all right?
Yep,
we'll do the Packers when we come back right here on Sports Talk Radio. Welcome back to Sports Talk Radio. Mike DeSanti, Jimmy DeFalco, Matt Rowan on hand. I'm Mac Rosenberg, as always, your host. And we've covered most of the teams in the NFL draft-wise, and we're in the NFC North, and we've done the Vikings. Now we're going to move on to a team who really needed a lot of help, and I think they might have gotten it coming out of the draft.
Yeah.
And we'll start off with Jimmy DeFalco on the Green Bay Packers.
All right. Well, first of all, I'd like to say A.J. Hawk at number 5 was probably the smartest pick the Packers have ever made in their draft history. He's a great outside linebacker from Ohio State. He did pretty good when he was in college. I mean, best linebacker coming out of the draft, no question about it. Then another guy I'd like to say that got picked in the 3rd round, number 67 overall, Abdul Hodge, a great linebacker out of Iowa. Him and Chad Greenway, as I said when I was talking about the Vikings, made a great team. And Abdul Hodge, you know, he could do a lot of things that normal linebackers can't do. Intercept it, you know, record a lot of safeties.
You don't see a lot of interceptions coming from linebackers.
Yes, that's true. So I just like to say, so Abdul Hodge, I think he'll be a rising star in this league too. Before they picked up Abdul Hodge, they picked Greg Jennings, Darlin Colliger, Jason Spitz, Corey Rogers, Will Blackman, Engel Martin, Tony Mahl, Johnny Jolly, who is a pretty underrated defensive tackle in my eyes, Tyrone Culver, and Dave Tollefson. I think all those players could help this Packer organization later come. As you know, they've lost Javon Walker. This offseason,
during the draft a few days back.
But them having a lot of picks in this draft, I think, was a good thing for them. I mean, you can't have too many picks in this draft. I mean, they had two second-round picks. They had one first-round. They had two fourth-round. They had two fifth. They had two sixth. And they had one seventh-round.
And they also had two third-round picks.
And they had two third-round picks, as Matt just said. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of picks. I think for a team that did bad last year, they should try to do that, get a lot of picks. I think this was a smart draft day for the Packers, and I'll send it over to Mike.
Yeah, as we said yesterday, along with the Jets and Redskins, one of the few teams in the whole draft that had a pick in every single round.
Okay. Good point.
First of all, A.J. Hawk, one of my favorite players coming out of college. Great player. He's just, if you watch him, he's just a beast out there on the field. Just plain English beast. Going through just sack and blitzing along with Carpenter, I think he made a good team in Ohio State.
He can do it all, I mean.
Yeah. Also, as you said, they lost Javon Walker, and looks like they're trying to get someone to fill his shoes because they picked up three wide receivers in this draft.
Yes,
they did. Second-round pick, Greg Jennings from Western Michigan. They got, in the fourth round, number 104 overall, Corey Rogers from Texas Christian, and also Boston College wide receiver Will Blackman from Boston College, as I said. Also, they looks like they got two offensive linemen. So it looks like they're trying to build up their offensive line.
They want to protect Favre as much as possible.
They lost Marco Rivera to the Cowboys a year or two ago.
That's right.
So it looks like
especially with Favre coming back, he's always injury prone. So they're going to need somebody.
Yes.
Also, always injury prone. Talking about that, they also selected a quarterback from Furman, Engel Martin. That was a good pick, I think, just in case they need someone that they can't rely on their backup.
And we know we're going to be seeing Aaron Rodgers in the future with this club, but we still need somebody just to
back him up.
Because what's going to happen is Favre's going to retire.
We'll never know what's going to happen with Favre. What if he comes back for a couple more years?
Well, I think this is going to be his last year. He's going to retire next year. Rodgers is going to start next year. And then that guy they drafted out of Furman, Engel Martin, will be the backup.
Right.
Unless they draft a better QB next year.
That's a good move, at least getting one QB for the Packers.
Jimmy, did you rate them?
I'm gonna have to give them an A-. I mean, A.J. Hawk is a great linebacker. I mean, he as Mike said, he's just a beast out there. He could make tackles. As I said before, with Chad Greenway, can do a lot of things normal linebackers cannot
talk
do.
Talk about a future Brian Urlacher.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people this is the future Ray Lewis. Greenway's,
yes. Ooh.
Greenway's the future
Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher.
Yeah, but Ray Lewis really is better.
Ray Lewis is better.
And Abdul Hodge, the inside linebacker from Iowa, also a great fit for them. And plus, they had a lot of picks in the draft. When you do bad this previous season before a draft, you should have a lot of picks. I mean, the more the better. I think they did a great job getting a pick in every single round, getting a lot of picks. I believe they had more than 10 picks. Yeah, they had a lot of
12.
They had 12 picks in this draft.
And just about multi-picks in every round. They had about two picks
they did,
per round.
Except the first round.
First round.
And the last round.
So I'm just going to give him an AA-.
Okay.
Mike, you're great.
Also, Favre, he's been a good player. Rodgers is going to learn from him, as he did last year, and he's going to continue this season. I think when Favre hangs up the cleats next year, Rodgers is going to teach Engel Martin how to be a good quarterback.
I think Rodgers is going to end up being one of the best we've ever seen just because of Favre. And he's got
the
talent.
And
Everybody thought he was going maybe number one.
And that's why I think he's going to be able to teach Engel Martin, and Engel Martin will be successful down the road.
Sorry, Mike.
It's like a ripple effect with the quarterbacks.
Yeah. Speaking about tutoring, you know, T.O. got tutored by
Jerry Rice.
In San Francisco. And a lot of good players, if you think about it, a lot of stars in the NFL today got tutored by a former great player. Randy Moss was tutored by Chris Carter.
But, of course, they do have talent aside from that.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
Aaron Rodgers
they
has God-given talent. So did A.J. Hawk. So.
Yeah.
And just one more thing before I give this over to Matt. I have to give them A-minus on the draft. Wonderful draft this year for the Packers.
Matt on the Packers coming out of the 06 draft.
Yeah, I think they had themselves one of the best draft days we've seen in a very long time from this team. A.J. Hawk, the linebacker that we all thought was going to this team at number five, well, the number five pick, and then we saw Packers at the number five pick. Yeah, Packers get A.J. Hawk. Abdul Hodge, another good linebacker from the University of Iowa, hooking up with Chad Greenway back in Iowa, coming to the Packers. You know what I'm very, and then, you know what, they picked Tyron Culver in round number six. That, remember, Darren Sharper was given to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes.
A year ago, and you know what, that might, he might be the replacement for him in years to come. And you know what, I'm very surprised they get, you know, that they all got rid of Ryan Longwell this year. Yeah. I'm very surprised that they did not pick a kicker in this draft.
Ooh.
I'm very surprised they didn't pick a kicker. And you know, like Mike said before, or one of you guys said before, they picked a couple offensive linemen because, you know, they want to build up Favre. They want to have Favre a lot of protection. They want to keep. They want to keep playing for as long as he can. Mac, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, my grade. I'm sorry. My grade for them, A-B.
A-B. Okay, thanks a lot. And just to round out what you guys pretty much had to say, you know, A.J. Hawk going to be one of the next big defensive stoppers in the game. You know, Brian Urlacher, Ray Lewis, whatever you want. Probably the
arguably
next Ray Lewis.
The best defensive player coming out of this draft.
Oh, I would definitely make an argument there. Definitely make an argument. It's possible.
He said arguably.
Yeah, you could. I mean, anybody. You know, a lot of. I think a lot of guys are tied for that spot. They got a lot. You know, I think coming into the draft, I think what, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I think what they had to work around, they had to work around one player on this team, and that's Brett Favre. They had to.
Yes.
They had to fit their needs based on what Brett. And you know what? It would have been much harder for this team if Brett Favre had not made his decision come draft day. But
yeah,
luckily, his decision was in, and they could have. They were able to base their draft around him because what, you know, they could have. They could have gotten Matt Leinart if Brett Favre had retired. He would have still been available.
No, but they wouldn't have taken him because they already have Aaron Rodgers.
Right, they would. Right, there's a good point. But still, they were working around Favre because they need him to be protected because that's it. One injury to him and he could be out, and that would end his career. I think they had a wide variety too, mostly because they were able to get all those picks. A lot of guys on offense. They had a couple wide receivers coming in there. You want a lot of, you know, wide receivers that are drafted, they usually start their first year. It's different with the quarterback situation, though, because quarterback is usually that one big position that you have on the club. But wide receivers this day in the NFL, I don't think there's a lot of, like, you know, wide receiver is not a big position on every team. And the
That's
Packers,
true.
It's true with the Packers.
If you look at the Patriots, I mean, they've won three out of the last
and they're
four
wide, right.
Super Bowl wins, like, a few years.
Sorry.
A few years ago. They won three out of the last four Super Bowls. I mean, Who are their wide receivers? Troy Brown,
that's
Deion
their best
Branch.
Guy.
I mean, come on.
Although those
that.
Guys have emerged as
but they
top.
Don't have elite wide
right.
receivers. You do not need
right.
elite wide receivers to
exactly.
win in
right.
this league.
Right.
If you just look at it,
all you need is elite quarterbacks.
If you
really.
Have an elite quarterback and you have a good defense, odds are you're going to do good in the
yeah.
NFL.
Also, and I think that, as you're saying, wide receivers usually start their rookie year. Look at the Cenarius Moss and Chad Jackson, Santonio Holmes. I think they're all going to be starters their rookie year.
Yes, I would definitely say yes.
I would say
maybe
so.
Chad Jackson is a possibility.
I would say Chad Jackson could go in the number three spot.
Giants definitely need Moss on there.
I'm not sure if the Giants are going to start Cenarius.
Toomer is on his way out, so they want him to get some practice this year.
Well, Toomer's playing this year.
No, but he's going to be. He doesn't have that much left in him.
Toomer is. This is like his 10th season in the
yes,
NFL.
Yes, he doesn't have that much left in him. I think, you know, I see them putting Moss in place of Tim Carter. Definitely. I'd rather see Moss. I mean, who would you rather see? Would you rather see Moss or Tim Carter starting on the Giants offense?
Well, I don't know, because you never know what's going to happen with Cenarius Moss. He might be the next Roethlisberger of the wide receivers. You never know.
No, I would say Cenarius Moss, because I've seen the guy play in Miami before.
Yeah, but
he's really good, Cenarius Moss.
So you've never seen him play in the NFL. That's what I'm trying
right.
to say.
I know.
Never, right.
Yes, but... No, I mean, from the way he looks in college, he looks like a very exciting player to watch in the pros. Coming into the draft, I think we all previously knew that the top three receivers, Chad Jackson, Holmes, and Moss, were very exciting to watch after we've watched them previous numerous amount of times.
All right, so that's the way it goes. I'm going to give them an A. They had the wide variety, and that's the way it is. When we come back, we're going to look at the Lions. Yep, we'll do the Lions next.
Yes.
Why not? You know, Sports Talk Radio, back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk Radio. Mac Rosenberg, Mike DeSantis, Jimmy DeFalco, and Matt Rowan on hand with us. All right, now we're going to go to the Detroit Lions, who once again went with a non-big weapon. They didn't go with a wide receiver or a quarterback or that kind of guy. They went with an offensive, an outside linebacker, another defender. Ernie Sims. And Jimmy, we'll go to you for the Lions.
Well, I just have to start off by saying I'm very surprised they did not take a wide receiver in the first round. Because I think their last 3 years in a row, I think their first round pick was
Mike
Williams.
Williams.
Carlos Rogers, Mike Williams, and Roy Williams
were their top.
No, it's
Carlos Rogers.
Charles Rogers. Yes. I knew it wasn't Carlos.
All right, so now I think they're getting a little bit smarter now, draft day, taking an Ernie Sims, an outside linebacker, 5'11", 232, from Florida State. I think he's a good player, but I think it was a little bit too early to take a guy like that. I mean, Leinart was available.
Oh, I would definitely go with Leinart. There, Joey Harrington's an iffy spot at quarterback, and they're about to get rid of him. He's about to go to Miami, Joey Harrington.
I know. Leinart was available. Cutler was available.
They're going to be in trouble if he leaves Harrington. We don't have anybody else.
Who else was there? And there was a lot of other good players available.
I'd definitely take Leinart if I was there.
Yeah, so
a couple guys like Cameron Wimbley were still there. They could. I think these guys are better than Ernie Sims with defense.
They don't need defense as much as they need offense. They need offense. Joey Harrington, it won't even put up good numbers as it is, and he's about to leave. So
they have Jeff Garcia,
They don't have him anymore. He's on the Eagles.
Yeah. Jeff Garcia's on the Eagles. Harrington's on his way out. Why didn't
they don't have
him?
Anybody. They had that. Somebody,
come to think of it, it was one of the worst decisions I've seen. Right. Just like the Mathias Kalanuka thing. Right. Another
definitely
decision.
Take somebody on offense with their first pick.
Yeah, I know. I think they should have took Leinart, but going back to what I grade them, Ernie Sims, as I said before, is too early to be taken. The Lions took him too early, you know. I'm not sure if this is true, but possibly if they waited until the second round to the number 40th pick, they could have got him.
I was just gonna say the same thing. It could have been true, right? Well could have happened.
Maybe they could have traded up in the second round to get the first pick of the second round to draft Ernie Sims.
Oh, they definitely would have gone. Then they have Leinart and Sims.
That would have been a good draft.
Right. And then listen, look at just something really interesting right here. I just want to say one thing. They picked the only non-defender and non-offensive tackle they picked was Brian Calhoun from Wisconsin. Jim, what do you think?
I was just going to mention that before Matt cut me off. Brian Calhoun, the running back from Wisconsin, I think he is the fourth best running back in the draft behind Lendell White, D'Angelo Williams, and Reggie Bush. He's a great running back.
Did you not predict him to go in the first round?
Yes, I did predict him to go in the first round.
Yes, you did.
He went in the third round. But
yeah, right.
Anyway,
so much for an upset.
Yeah, no. But anyway, Brian Calhoun, I don't know why they draft a guy like that. They have Kevin Jones. Kevin Jones.
Right. I think he could definitely be good.
Yeah, Kevin Jones.
He's got potential, yeah.
Kevin Jones. I mean, why would they draft a guy like Brian Calhoun? I mean, come on. Okay.
They made some mistakes.
Did make some mistakes. With the number one pick, they should have took Matt Leinart. They could have waited, traded up in the second round. Took Ernie Sims. They might have gotten Ernie Sims. We don't know, but could have gotten Ernie Sims. And they still could have drafted Brian Calhoun. Brian Calhoun, Matt Leinart, and Ernie Sims. I would have given them an A+. That's great.
Definitely.
I think that's great.
And you know, if you want to replace Sims with possibly Santonio Holmes, he wasn't gone by the second round 40th pick, was he?
No,
he went
late
second round, right?
Who, Holmes?
Holmes.
Holmes went number 25 to the Steelers.
Oh, I'm sorry. In the first round he went. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of something else. I could have gotten a guy like maybe Chad Jackson. Went even later.
No, he went 30. He went to the 30s to the England Patriots. A guy that you might be thinking of, Cinaris Moss.
Right, possibly Moss as well. But they definitely could have waited and got an elite wide receiver.
Yeah, they could. But they don't need a wide receiver, though. They have Carlos Rogers. He's not that good.
Charlie
Rogers. He's not that good.
Boston in the NFL.
They had Mike Williams and
Roy Williams, who was the only good wide receiver on that team.
And Mike Williams, he could do that. I don't think they needed to draft a wide receiver. But just to throw out some other names that they drafted, Jonathan Scott, Alton McCannon, Fred Matuea, and Anthony Cannon. All players that I've never heard of, but so we'll see like how they do in the NFL. Note one more thing before I send it over to Mike. They had this is one of the few teams also that had a pick in every round except the fourth round. I mean, they had one first round, one second round, one third round, one fifth round, one sixth round, and two seventh rounds.
Right.
So, And I'm going to give them a B minus C plus because Ernie Sims is a little bit too high to draft, even though he is good. Brian Calhoun, I think, is going to be good in this league. So, yeah, I probably B, C plus. I'll send it over to Mike.
I think they, with all the picks they had, I think they should have had a better draft this year. As you guys were saying, Ernie Sims, should not have gone number 9.
Definitely
I think
not.
Leinart's still available on the board. He went number 10 to the Cardinals. I think Sims is not that good to be the last single-digit pick. You guys got anything to say about that?
I didn't even know who Ernie Sims was. I thought most of us would know who all the guys going in the first round were. I didn't even know who he was. So, all right, Mike, any last words on that?
I just have to give them just one more thing. I think... Brian Calhoun, as Jimmy said, fourth best running back. In the draft. I think he's a pretty good guy, and down the road he might be pretty good. I'd have to give him on the draft C plus C.
Matt?
Well, yeah, I didn't think Ernie Sims was a good pick at all. Another bad mistake. Brian Calhoun was a very good pick. Daniel Bullock's a good pick. And you know what? Just because of that whole Ernie Sims thing, Matt Leinart could have been their man at quarterback. Like Mac said, and like Mac and Jimmy said, Joey Harrington's on his way out. You know what? I just thought it was a dumb decision by the Lions to draft Ernie Smith that early. Ernie Sims, thank you. And when I heard, my friend was calling me, and he told me Ernie Sims was picked at number 9. I was like, why would they pick an outside linebacker when Matt Leinart was still available? So for that, I give them a C-minus D.
Matt,
all right,
you got anything to say about that, Matt?
Yes, Jim. I basically agree with you guys. I mean, they only had three picks that were under triple digits. And you know, if you have that many triple digit picks, then obviously you're not going to have that good of a team. But still, they made that mistake of not getting Leinart with maybe their first pick overall. You know, and the triple digit thing, that's very important too. They had 4 triple digit picks and only 3 picks that were under triple digits. I mean, when you have that many triple digit picks, you know.
I don't know who you're going to draft.
I know. Triple digit picks, they're, you know, something you can't be good with getting those triple digit picks. All right, we're going to go over the Bears when we come back on Sports Tag.
Wait,
I give them a round of C with those triple digit picks. It just can't get any worse. I'm Mac Rosenberg, Jimmy DeFalco, Matt Rowe, and Mike DeSani. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Radio, we're going over the Chicago Bears, the Bears, when we come back. Welcome back to Sports Talk Radio. I think you know who's here by now. We're talking baseball and football, reviewing the NFL draft, and now we'll go to the Chicago Bears, who won their division last year and I think maybe could have had a chance to make the Super Bowl. Did this help them, Jimmy, in the 2006 draft?
Well, honestly, no, because they didn't have a first-round pick. Right. I mean, when you don't have a first-round pick, it's kind of hard to get quality talent. But the biggest mistake of their draft is they took more defensive players than they did offensive players. They took four defensive players, and they took 3 offensive players. I mean, defense wasn't their weakness
last year.
They
weren't compared to the 85 team.
Yeah, I know. They had a great defense. I don't know. And their first pick was a strong safety.
I honestly would have taken a quarterback because I honestly don't feel comfortable being a Bears fan having Kyle Orton in there.
Or Rex Grossman.
Right. Rex Grossman was injured all the time. I'd much rather have a quarterback picked first by these guys. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Wasn't Brady Croyle available when they were picking?
I'm not sure.
Yes, he was. He went in the fourth round, I think.
Yeah. They could have took Brody Croyle instead of...
I'd much rather have him than...
Daniel Manning.
Right.
And Kyle Orton, Purdue kid, I don't think he was selected as high as the second round.
He was in triple digits.
Was he their first pick last year?
He was in triple digits.
Triple digits, and we've talked about those before, but... Was he picked in the first round? Was he picked
Kyle
in the...
Was he
their first pick last year?
No, he was picked in the fifth round, Kyle.
Triple
Orton.
Digits. Was he their first pick? No, he wasn't. If he was picked in the fifth round, then he wasn't.
Hopefully. All right, well, going back to what I was saying, they took Daniel Manning, the strong safety out of Abilene Christian, with their first pick, though. And then they had another second round, 15 picks after that, Devin Hester, wide receiver from Miami, Florida. I can understand that pick.
Yes, they need a wide receiver.
Dusty Dvorak. I don't know why they take a guy like him. They don't need defense. I wouldn't have took one single defensive player in this whole draft if I was the Bears.
The last pick, they could have taken one little guy, but that's definitely not their needs coming.
Yeah, and they took more defensive players than they did offensive players.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have taken a defensive guy. And they only took one offensive guy, if I'm looking. Yeah.
No, they took three.
They took guard and fullback and receiver. They got Tyler Reed at the guard position, J.D. Reynolds at fullback, and also they got
Devin Hester. Alright, so just to throw out a few more names, Dusty Dvorak, Jamar Williams, Mark Anderson, J.D. Reynolds, Tyler Reed. I'm going to give them an F. I really don't think they'd had a great draft at all, especially when they made the biggest mistake by taking a defensive player. They don't need defense. I don't know what was going through the Bears GM. Then they don't really have any big names on this list, I'm saying.
Well, when your first pick is the 42nd in the second round, you're not going to get anybody that
still,
pick.
You could have took a wide receiver first pick. Wasn't?
They could have got Chad Jackson. Kamaris
Moss was available then.
And so was
he wasn't. Chad Jackson was picked number 36 by
the
All right,
well,
teams.
You know, he was
anyway, Kamaris
Moss was available. They should have took Kamaris Moss. But I'm just going to send it over to Mike. I give them an F.
And just a note, were there any more wide receivers? I mean, who else was there?
Just to say.
Jeremy Bloom from Colorado.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Jeremy Bloom. He was sucked in the fifth round by Philadelphia. Fourth round pick, Jamar Williams, inside linebacker, defense. They don't need defense.
I know.
Being compared to the 85 Bears defense, one of the best defenses to ever play.
Mike, let me just ask you a question.
Yes.
If you were the Bears GM, would you have taken one single defensive player this whole draft?
Maybe out of all their picks, it looks like they had 7 picks. Out of them, maybe I would have taken one. 6 offensive players, but definitely not selecting Daniel Manning with my first pick. Strong safety out of Albaline Christian.
I can see why they'd take a corner, because they lost Azuma to retirement this year.
Right.
But
still, first pick, don't go with the...
And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't the wide receiver from Notre Dame, Anthony Fasano?
Yep,
Anthony Fasano.
Yeah, he went to the Cowboys.
He went to the Cowboys.
He did go some, right?
In replacement of Jason Witten.
And Maurice Stovall, wasn't taken.
I knew he was bigger than just
Maurice Stovall was not taken.
Right, so this is another, we don't have to just focus in on those four guys. The Bears could have gotten really a lot of wide receivers.
Yeah, Moss, Maurice Stovall.
You look at it, you had Tom Brady go 100. Over 150 picks.
He wasn't supposed to be.
Yeah, I know, but he was.
Yeah, look at him.
He was pretty good, though, in Michigan.
Yeah, but look at him. He went 150 over that, actually.
Yeah, but who else did you have going in that draft?
But still.
That's unbelievable today.
Sean Alexander was in that draft.
Yeah, but look at that. Who knows? Maybe one of these guys could have been one of them. Also, Terrell Owens, Zach Thomas. They were all fourth, fifth round picks.
I mean, there's got to be some logic behind this. Obviously, the GM had a reason for picking all of these.
There has to be. Unless
you don't just go and do that when you had, I think,
one of the best defenses in the league.
There's got to be some regional answer, like what they needed maybe wasn't available at the time. So,
right.
Who knows? My grade F,
they
failed.
They are getting old on defense. They are getting a little old.
Yes. So, as for my grade F, they failed.
Matt?
Yep, I'm going to agree with the two guys who just went before me. I'm giving them an F. Daniel Manning, the worst pick I've ever seen. That was worse than Matthias Kalanuka. I can name 3 offensive guys that they had before then. Lendell White, who went to the Titans. Sanders Moss, who went to the Giants. And Brody Croyle, who ended up going to the Chiefs.
I don't think Matthias Kalanuka was that bad of a pick by the Giants.
Oh, so you and you were Michael Strahan. Can you just tell me that was a bad pick by the Giants?
With the 25th?
We know that Matthias Kalanuka was a good player, but the Giants shouldn't have taken him. Okay,
right,
probably the worst draft day coming out of the NFL draft by this team. Daniel Manning, worst pick. Dusty Dvorak, why would they pick him? Jamar Williams, Brian Urlacher. Mark Anderson, don't.
I'd have to disagree with you. I don't think they had the worst draft. I think we just agreed that the Lions did.
I think their only reasonable pick that wasn't any nonsense was J.D. Reynolds, fullback from Oklahoma. That was their only.
I mean, this is a team that didn't have that many needs coming into the draft. The Lions had a whole lot of needs and they didn't fulfill them. They didn't have a lot of needs, so they could have really skipped around and just take guys out of the air. But the Lions really had to focus in. I don't think the Bears had that bad of a draft day because they did good last year and they didn't need that much coming into this year.
Yes, and
so
I'd have
definitely
to give.
Didn't have the worst.
I have to give some credit to the Chicago Bears because they didn't have any first-round picks, so we can't expect them to do that good. And every team does not have the best draft.
Yeah, but I mean, come on.
They do have Mushin Muhammad at the wide receiver.
Yes, and especially when you're when you did good, you made the playoffs, you don't get high picks. And also, can't expect them to have the best draft day they've ever had. You got to give them some leeway. Jim?
Let me just comment on what Matt just said. Wendell White, well, there's a guy on the Bears named Cedric Benson, their first-round pick last year.
Oh, I forgot about Cedric Benson.
Cedric Benson, I think, is going to be their running back. I don't think they would want to take
Wendell White. Yeah, I apologize for the whole
thing. And Wendell White had an injury last year with something with his leg, so yeah. I don't know if the Bears would want to take a chance with him.
And
so
don't
I'll
they
have to disagree with
don't
you.
Don't they have Thomas Jones on the running back as well? The Bears? They didn't start Cedric Benson for the majority. They started Thomas Jones, who did unbelievable last year.
Did they have A-Train last year?
Anthony Thomas? No, they didn't have Anthony Thomas. They released him in free agency last year. Thomas Jones
was
there.
Thomas Jones was a beast last year.
Also, I have a question. Does anybody know how they lost their first-round pick? Did they lose it in a trade?
Yeah, every team has a first-round pick. They had to have lost it.
Because there's 32 teams, 32 first-round picks.
My question is, when was their first-round pick?
Yes, and who they trade it with? I knew the Jets had two picks.
Well, I think it might have been the Jets at number 29.
Are you sure? It might have.
Yeah, because the Jets.
Oh, yes, that's possible.
And did the Jets end up, did they have 42? Because the Jets, they had 32. So the team with the 10th pick, Cardinals, had the 10th pick in the first round. So that would be the 42nd in the second round. So, Jim?
I don't think it could have been the 29th pick because the two Super Bowl participants are 31 and 32. It couldn't have been them. Then you had the Broncos and the Panthers are 29 and 28.
No, because remember the Broncos got Jay Cutler at number 11.
I'm saying the Rams.
Coming into the draft, this was Jimmy's trying to explain what the order was.
I think since the Steelers and Seahawks were the two Super Bowl participants last year. I think they were 31-32. And then number 30, I think, was the Broncos. And then the Bears didn't make it to the NFC Championship game, so they couldn't have had a high pick like 29. I think they would have... I know what they had. They had the number 26 pick right after the Giants.
Oh.
Right after the Giants. They had a pick
right after.
And
who ended up getting that this year? 26th pick was... Could it possibly have been the,
Alright, we'll just check it out for you.
We'll definitely check that. We have the whole first round here. Who got the 26th?
And then the, Giants...
Buffalo from Chicago, it says.
They
ended up getting John McCargo, so...
Yes.
They wouldn't have lost that. And if the Bears still had that pick, they would have just missed Holmes by a pick.
Yeah.
That would have been a big pick for them, too.
Oh, that would have been...
Oh, and you know...
Him and Muhammad, that would have been a great team.
Yeah, but... That all depends on if the Giants did not trade down. I don't think the Giants would have took Santonio Holmes at that high.
But they ended up getting a wide receiver anyway. So
yeah, they
wouldn't have.
No, but their top rated receiver going into this draft was Tanaris Moss.
Yes,
I read it
also,
on NFL.com.
If the Giants had kept that pick and not traded to the Steelers,
possibly
might have gone after the running back D'Angelo Williams.
Ah, right.
Maybe. Also, so. Yeah, if the Giants kept that pick and the Chicago kept number 26, it could have been Giants taking one of the three, Cenaris, Santonio, or Williams. Mm-hmm. And then there's also two average to good players in Moss, Holmes, or Williams that could have gone to the Bears.
Right.
That would have been a good pick.
Right. That's true. All right,
I'm just going to do my grade because I don't have to really say. I think we all know what we thought about the Bears. I'll give them maybe a C, F around there because I think...
DF.
All right,
so Mac, let me just recap here. Mac gives them a DF. Mac and me, Mike, and Matt all give the Bears an F.
Yep.
Right.
Yes,
they failed. Also, I just got to say one more thing. The Bears, what is the point of trading a number 26 pick for number 42? Did they get a player out of that?
And they got the second round. And it was the second round.
Yeah, because so did they get a player out of that trade?
I know why. Because as Matt was saying before, last year they really didn't need that. But based on how good they did last year, they didn't really need a first round.
Right.
Pick.
Yeah. Right.
So that's
they had to have had an okay offense to have made it that far.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. That's gonna do it for
but
this.
As the famous motto was, defense wins championships.
Yes.
There you go.
It's true.
All right. So that's the way it looks in our NFC North. We'll go to the AFC North. I'm sorry. Yeah. We'll go to the AFC North, and we'll start off with the Steelers next. Won the Super Bowl, and did they get what they wanted in the draft? We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Talk Radio, and we're going to now go to the AFC North, starting with the world champion Pittsburgh Steelers, and we're going to try to keep it short so we can get into our baseball segment, and Jimmy, start us off.
All right, well, I just got to start off by saying, Santonio Holmes, great wide receiver out of Ohio State, great pick. I'm sure the Steelers fans were happy that they moved up in trading with the Giants to get this great receiver.
And even if you don't need a wide receiver, he's still a good pickup.
That's good. That's true. And then they also got Amar Jacobs in the fifth round. He's also very underrated quarterback. But besides them, I really don't see any eye-breaking players.
No, maybe Orion Harris.
Orion Harris may be the only one. Mm-hmm. Just to throw out a few names, Willie Reed, Willie Colon.
Oh, Cedric Humes was a big pick.
And Cedric Humes. Charles Davis, Marvin Phillips, Cedric Humes. Willie Reed, those just some other players. I think they had a good draft day. I'm going to give them a B-, B-plus, Mike.
They didn't need a whole lot, so.
Did you say that they didn't really need a wide receiver?
No, I never said that.
Was that Matt?
That was Matt.
I didn't say that. I said, if you don't need a wide receiver.
Oh, well, they needed one. They lost Antoine Randle in the offseason
to the Redskins.
Right. To free agency, actually.
Right.
Yeah, but he went to the Redskins.
Yes. Right. Okay. Jimmy said, Santonio Holmes, good player. The rest, mediocre to not that good players. Omar Jacobs, good quarterback to back up Charlie Batch as the second stringer.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to be a pretty player one day, Charlie yes. Batch, definitely.
Well, he's getting pretty old, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I made a mistake. He just looked so good in that Monday night game.
Yes. Well, he's doing good.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Anthony Smith, free safety out of Syracuse. Mediocre player. I don't think they really needed him. They could have.
Yeah, don't they have Palomalu?
Yes.
No, Palomalu's strong safety.
Yes, but no second round pick. No second round pick for them. That was a. Well, for the Steelers, that's pretty good that they got a first round pick, trading up after because they won the Super Bowl to get the last pick, trading up getting Holmes. Very good move by them. Mm-hmm. No second round pick.
Could have traded it to the Giants.
Yes.
By the way.
Charles Davis and Marvin Phillip and Willie Colon, even though Davis is a tight end, they all could be used for blocking on the line, so it looks like they're trying to build up the line to protect the quarterback.
All right, so what's your grade, Mike?
I'd have to give them B+. I think they did pretty good in my eyes, but, with only the Santonio Holmes big name, I'm going for B, Matt.
Yeah, well, we started off with Santonio Holmes. Great pick. One of the best receivers, maybe even the best receiver coming into this draft. Not my prediction, but maybe one of them. Willie Colon, a good guard. Omar Jacobs, probably, maybe even the biggest steal in this draft, Omar Jacobs.
Oh, a steal by the Steelers.
So, I just thought it was a good pickup by the Steelers because Ben Roethlisberger, if you remember last year, in the early weeks of the season, he was injury prone. And you know what? Looking at Charlie Batch and you see Omar Jacobs might even resemble a little bit of Charlie Batch in his early years.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
I would give them a C, B-.
I have to disagree with you. I'd say Matt Leinart was the biggest steal by the Cardinals.
Yes, definitely.
Second biggest deal. All right, Matthew, go.
All right, thanks a lot. And just basically dittoing what you guys said. Honestly, and you guys can, laugh at me for saying this, I honestly think the Steelers could have come into this draft. I don't think they could have. I don't even think they had to participate in this draft, and they still would have been okay. You know, they didn't need. I don't think they needed anybody really on defense. I mean, they just kind of picked for the heck of it, as I was saying with the Bears. You know, same type of thing. I honestly think that they could have came into the draft and not have gotten any picks, and they still would have been fine for the 2006 year. I'm going to give them around, B+, whatever you want. All right, we're going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals next. A lot of people thought that they would make the Super Bowl, and maybe the draft helped them to get closer when we come back on Sports Talk Radio.
Okay.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Radio. Sorry, just a little mix-up there. So we're going to go over the Cincinnati Bengals next, and Jimmy, you want to start us off?
All right, well, I'm just going to start off with their first-round pick, Jonathan Joseph. I mean, I think he's going to be a really good player in this league. You can laugh at me all you want, but the number 24th pick, I think that was a great pick by the Bengals. Great pick. I mean, I think that was probably one of the greatest picks ever in the history of their draft.
Bold statement.
Yep. And, besides him, I mean, not really that many quality players. Andrew Whitworth, Frosty, Rucker, Demonta Peko, AJ Nicholson, Reggie McNeil.
We're starting to come upon those teams who were so good last year. It didn't really mean anything what they got in the draft.
Yeah, and Reggie McNeil, I mean, him and Jonathan Joseph, I think, will be good in this league.
Yeah.
Reggie McNeil, quarterback from Texas A&M, I think, underrated. Also, I think Jonathan Joseph is overrated. So those two players, I think, they had a pretty good draft, but not really that good. So I'm going to give them a C+, Mike.
All right, also, majority of their five out of their eight picks are in triple digits, so got to give them something. Also, as Jimmy said, Jonathan Joseph, not a big guy, 5'11", 192 out of South Carolina. I think that he might be a very good player in the NFL in time to come. Andrew Whitworth, offensive tackle from Louisiana State. I don't know about him. I think they could have gotten a better guy with him.
Because yes, me too.
Yeah, definitely. Then they got, just to name some other people, Frosty Rucker, Domata Pico, AJ Nicholson, Reggie McNeil, Ethan Kilmer, Benny Brazel. Also, to say they had two picks in the seventh round, 209, 231, who'd they pick? They picked two wide receivers. Oh, I'm sorry, was the sixth pick, 193, was Brad Smith still available? Or what round did the Jets pick him? The fifth?
Was that the fifth? I don't know.
Okay, well, I think that he was a better pick. He could have been a better pick than Reggie McNeil.
All right, Mike, so give him your
grade. My grade, C+.
All right, Matt, you're up.
All right, thanks for the mic.
I'm sorry, Bengals.
Jonathan Joseph was a very good pick. Reggie McNeil, the guy with the guy who's being compared to Omar Jacobs in this coming in this draft, he was, I believe, picked under Omar Jacobs. But anyway, you know, I'm gonna agree with Jimmy and Mike. I'm gonna give them about a C+, maybe even a D. They didn't have a good draft. They didn't need to fill a lot of spots. So that's what they lacked in the draft. When you do not have to fill in a lot of spots in this draft, you don't have a good draft, and that's what I'm giving them, C+D. Mac, what do you have to say about this?
All right, I just have to agree with both of you. As I said before, I think we're starting to come to a point where, you know, really we're starting to see the good teams, and the picks don't really matter. Jonathan Joseph, I'm just going to ditto what you guys said. He can be a great player in this league. Anybody who goes 24th in the first round can be good. All right, so we're going to go over the Cleveland Browns, and we're not going to take a break. We'll start off with Jimmy on
the
Browns.
Matt, what was your grade for
them? Oh, I'd have to give them B minus whatever, C,
B
somewhere
minus
around there.
Okay.
Jimmy, well, on the Cleveland Browns, they had a lot of needs. All right,
well, I'm just going to start off by saying Cameron Wimbley was one of the worst picks I have ever seen the Cleveland Browns make. Okay, Cameron Wimbley selected 13 overall. I knew who he was, but I thought he was going to go in like the third round or something.
Anything special he did in his college career that made him go so
early?
I don't know. I think 13th pick.
There's some guys in the first round we've never heard of. I mean, you probably have, but I thought I would have at least known everybody.
Your specialty is baseball, so.
Right.
Well, I think Matthias Kalanuka is better than Cameron Wimbley.
Definitely.
Definitely.
And the Giants got him number 32?
Yep.
That's 19 picks before, after Cameron Wimbley.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that was a bad pick. He is a good player, though, but I think that was a bad pick. Their second pick, I think, was a steal. I mean,
definitely.
Like, steal rock, baby. DeQuell Jackson, that guy's an animal. I mean, he's an animal. He will do great in his career. He will be compared to Ray Lewis for the rest of his life. Best inside linebacker coming out of this draft. I don't care what you guys say, he is.
And you want to talk about not knowing how somebody would name their kid DeBrickshaw? We've got Baba Toon, Oshinowo.
DeQuell.
I have no idea. And DeQuell. We've
and
got
Leon.
Some, really?
And DeMario.
Wati Nagata.
Well, I think Leon is a little okay, Jim, but Baba Toon is a little weird name.
I mean, I would take Mario, but not DeMario.
Super DeMario Brothers. We're having a little bit of a fun time.
Yeah,
Jimmy,
that's
right?
Spelling first pick Cameron Wimbley, his first name with a K and not a C.
Okay, on a serious note now. Hey guys, come on. On a serious note now. Okay guys, come on. Cameron Wimbley, I think he was a good player. Alright, we're just gonna take a break. And when we're back, we're gonna continue with the
Cleveland Browns.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Radio. Just having a little fun in the studio here. Mike, we'll go back to you on your take on the Browns.
All right, thanks,
Mac. Get serious now.
All right, thanks, Mac. All right, Cameron Wimbley, defensive end at Florida State. I think they should have gotten the guy who went to the Steelers, number 32.
Antonio Holmes?
No, 32 the Steelers.
Matthew Kalanuka?
Yes.
He's the Giants, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I meant, my bad. Because they traded with the Steelers that pick, so that's why I got it mixed up. I think they should have taken him. Much better than Cameron Wimbley, defensive end out of Florida State. Horrible pick, I'd say. Number 13, waste of a pick. If you're gonna go for that guy with your first pick, at least trade your pick and get a few more picks, guys. Okay. Also, I'm gonna say it looks like they're trying to build up their defense with defensive end Cameron Wimbley, linebacker DeQuil Jackson, linebacker Leon Williams. They got the cornerback DeMario Winter. Defense tackle. This guy's got a pretty funny name. Baba Tundi Oshinawa.
Don't pronounce the E, Mike. You should know that.
I wonder how Paul Tagliabue would pronounce his name.
All right. And also,
the 181st pick in the NFL draft, Baba Tundi Oshinawa.
Okay. And it looks like they, how many picks do they have? They had a pick in every single round, and it looks like they had.
I think they did horrible, honestly. They picked
they
a lot.
They had 10 picks. Only they got the fullback Lawrence Vickers and the running back Jerome Harrison and Isaac Soles and the wide receiver Travis Wilson.
I think they would have been a better team in the 2006 season without even having a pick in the draft. They picked a lot.
Yeah,
of them.
Four picks. Offense.
Just to bring something up, when Paul Tagliabue announced Brett Favre's name, he pronounced it Brett Favre.
He can't even pronounce that right.
I can only just imagine. Babatude Ashawino.
I want to get an audio of all the guys with weird names.
Like Mathias Kalanuka. I could imagine
how he
pronounces his name.
And Favre, it's spelled F-A-V-R-E.
That's not even a
so I can see why.
Right.
Wait, Mike. I didn't give them my grade. As I said before, DeQuil Jackson was a steal. But, Babatunde Osawino, I think he might be a good player in this league.
All right, let's play a little.
That's going to do it for the Browns. Any last words just before we break?
Get it over with,
go to the Ravens.
Yes, grades, once again. Me, D minus, Jim.
D plus. No, wait, I'm sorry. I'm going to give him a C plus, B minus.
Okay.
D. I'm going to go with an F. All right. Okay. We'll be right back. We'll talk about the Baltimore Ravens. We're not going to break. We're going to go right to the Ravens, and we want to get into some baseball before we run out of time here on Sports Talk Radio. And, all right, let's start off with the Ravens. Jim.
All right, well, talking about weird names, Haliotti Nagata, the defensive tackle from Oregon.
And that's not how you pronounce his name, by the way. It's Haloti Nagata.
Well, I don't care. All right, well, Haliotti Nagata from Oregon, I think he'll be the next great defensive tackle in this league. I think that was a great pick at number 12 for the Baltimore Ravens. Chris Chester, the center from Oklahoma, I think he'll do good. And just to throw out some more names, David Pittman, Demetrius Williams, P.J. Daniels, DeJuan Landry, Quinn Sipanowski, Sam Koch, Derek
Mathis, Jim.
Derek Martin, and Ryan
Lacasse. Okay, all right. What's the grade, Jim?
I'm going to give him a B minus just because they got Nagata.
Mm-hmm.
He's an animal.
Nagata, he went number 12. I think that the Browns, that was number 13, I think that sucked for them because they could have gotten if Nagata was still available from their pick at number 13, because Nagata was picked 12th right before them. I think if he was still available, they could have picked him. And that was bad for them. Also, they are building up their offense with a center, wide receiver, running back, tight end, cornerback. Sorry, that's on defense. Also, Sam Koch, one of the few special teams punter selected.
Well,
right.
Well, who was their punter last season?
I don't know.
Was for the Ravens.
For the Ravens.
We don't know.
Okay.
Well, their kicker was Stover,
Mike, you don't have
right?
to check it, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, Matt Stover.
Yeah. Stover, right?
Yep,
that was
Stover's
the kicker.
He was the kicker. I don't know who the punter was. It's not that important.
So my grade for them, just because they got Nagata, as Jim said, it would be a B minus.
Mm-hmm.
Matt?
Yep, Haloti Nagata, very good defensive tackle from Oregon. I could see why they would pick him because they need a lot of help on defense. Ray Lewis even saying he might leave the team if he doesn't get some help in a hurry.
Very true fact.
And you know what? Right. Him, Chris McAllister, yeah, they need Lodi Nagata. You know, those other guys, you know, really don't know, but Chris Chester, him and Lodi Nagata are probably the only two guys I know. Yeah, I'll give him a B.
I'm just going to ditto you guys because I think we're done talking about these divisions for the draft. Got a little wild, but I think we maintained ourselves for most of that time. We got about 10 minutes left in the show, and when we come back on Sports Talk Radio, we're going to go into our secondary sport for now. Anyway, it's Major League Baseball Talk when we come back.
All right.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Radio. Matt Rowan and Jimmy DeFalco and Mike DeSani. I'm Matt Rosenberg, and we're talking MLB baseball and a big issue that is arising pretty soon, or it might have already happened. Roger Clemens, will he come back into baseball? Well, he probably will come back into baseball, but will he go where will he go? Many say he's going to the Astros, many say the Rangers, many say the Red Sox, many say the Yankees, and we'll go to Jimmy DeFalco, his take on Roger Clemens and the fact that he wants to go back to a team that's doing very good.
Yes, I was just going to bring that up before you start. I was just going to say, Roger Clemens has stated himself that he wants to get a ring and he wants to go to a team that's doing good. Correct. I mean, why not go to the best team in baseball right now? Cincinnati Reds.
Well, we'll see what happens when he's coming back, which he says he's coming back at around the All-Star break, but he's going to sign a deal now and then come back around July. So, Where do you think he'll go?
I think he should go to the Reds, but I honestly think he's going to go to the New York Yankees.
Wow, that's very surprising. Very surprising you think he'll go to the Reds. I mean, he has
I didn't say that. I said he should go to the Reds.
Should go to the Reds, based on what he stated would happen, right.
But I think he's going to go to the Yankees, Matt.
Well, yeah, definitely. I agree with Jimmy on the whole thing. He should go to the Reds because, like Jimmy said, he wants to go to the best team in baseball, and as it looks right now, he wants to go to the best team in baseball, which is the Reds.
Yeah,
17-8, 18-8, whatever. I forgot their record. But anyway, think he's gonna go to? Although they're my least favorite team in baseball, I think he's gonna go to the Boston Red Sox because for one thing, the Boston Red Sox fans were very into him early into his career when they had other pitchers such as Oil Can Boyd, and he was their ace. Yes, he was, Mike. None of us were born.
He was terrible.
Okay, none of us were born when Roger Clemens was on Indians. On the Red Sox.
Red
Sox. Mac was.
Yeah.
But what I'm gonna say about that is, I think he's gonna go to the Red Sox.
Okay, we were all alive when he was on the Red Sox because he left the Red Sox in the middle '90s. Okay.
Okay. And may I just say something also?
Around '95.
I'm just saying. You're saying I'm not alive? I said I don't like him. I like Babe Ruth. I wasn't alive when he was playing.
I just didn't
like him as a player on the Red Sox. Right. Personally, I don't like anybody on the Red Sox. I still hate Johnny Gaiman as a Yankee fan. Still hate him. Never will like him.
That's a passionate Yankee fan statement right there, and I know Jimmy has the same
word.
Opinion.
Yeah,
he's
I hate Johnny Gaiman.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't blame him. I don't blame him. It's not that big a deal. Like if Carlos Beltran left the Mets, I'd still like him as a player because he was a Met. But Yankee Red Sox rivalry, it's
like,
a big thing.
Yeah, Jeter's been on the Yankees since he was a rookie in '98. He goes plays on the Red Sox. I'd still like him deep down inside,
I'm surprised at that.
I'd like him inside just because
he would have the heart to go to
diving,
the Red Sox. I don't know.
No, if
never going to the Red Sox.
I know. I'm just saying as an example. I know he won't go, but I'm just saying. He was on the golden team with Brocious,
right.
O'Neill, mm-hmm. when Bernie Williams was young. Cone,
right.
Wells,
right.
Clemens. I'm just saying, I'd still like him deep down inside, but on the outside as a Red Sox, I wouldn't like him at all. And also, just saying, all the stuff he's done with the Yankees, just like all the catches into the stands, getting busted up.
Most of those were against the Red Sox.
Yes, and he's a player at heart for the Yankees.
If you remember,
I'm just giving you an example. Jim, what you got to say on that?
I personally will hate Derek Jeter if he goes to the Red Sox.
I think he's got the most heart in this rivalry, to be honest.
Oh, definitely.
The fact that he would even think about going to the Red Sox. I mean,
no, if you're
just
a true Yankee
obviously
fan,
it's a matter of money if
you
ever go anywhere else.
If you really like the team, you would not go to their rival team. I know I know Baseball Today, Football Today, all the major sports.
Damon went because of money. I mean, he even said it himself.
Yeah, because you go because of money. That's the big thing.
Right.
But if I was playing in the major leagues, which I never will be, but if I was... If my favorite team was the New York Yankees, I would refuse to play for the Boston Red Sox. Mm. I just would.
First to play for the New York
Chip,
Mets.
You got to think about
no,
it.
No, I would not, because they're not.
Chip,
they're not a part of that.
They might be the biggest.
They've only been playing games against each other since 1997. The Mets and the Yankees. So yes, that's why it's not a big.
You
got to
think about it, guys. If you're playing Major League Sports. All these days, players don't care what team they are. They just care that they get that big signing bonus, the big
contract.
Johnny Damon
is an example of that.
Johnny Damon, perfect example.
And Derek Jeter is the complete opposite.
Hate Johnny Damon. Never will like him.
Me too.
Just because of the money. Not a baseball player at heart. Does it for the money.
Right.
He should not have the talent. He's just too greedy. Jim?
Jim, you wanted to say one last thing?
Yeah. I just wanted to say, if I got accepted into the major leagues, Boston Red Sox offered me $55 million for 4 years, and the Yankees offered me $50 million for 4 years, I'd go to the Yankees. That's just me.
I just have to say one more thing. Derek Jeter, by the way, the complete opposite of that. He's all heart.
No, I think we've made that point already. I mean, we started by talking about
Jeter. That comment wasn't needed.
that's a big thing with faith. But moving back to the main topic of discussion was Clemens. You think he's going to the Astros? Yankees. You think he's going back to the Yankees? That would be. I think to go anywhere but the Astros would be a real surprise.
Oh yeah, I want him to go back to the Yankees as much as I want the Yankees to win the World Series. But then again, he's going to go to the Red Sox just because. Honestly, I think he's just going to go there because he had a great history with the Red Sox, even though he had a better history with the, I don't know, just some feeling just coming through me right now, just that little niche on my back that he's going to go to the Red Sox. What do you have to say about that?
I just have one more thing to say. I'm sorry. I'm going to change my opinion. I don't think he's going to go to the Yankees. I think he's going to wait till after the All-Star break, and whatever team has the best record in baseball, he's going to try to sign with them. But if those people don't accept... I mean, if the team does not accept Roger Clemens on the team, then he will print out. I'll tell you what he's gonna do. He'll print out a list of the best teams in baseball record wise after the All-Star break. He's gonna look at the team number one, call them, see if they want to. If not, he's gonna keep going down the list, so he can get the better team.
Oh,
that's
yes.
What I think he's gonna do.
Definitely.
Okay. Yes. So
Mac,
anybody got anything to say on that?
I would be surprised if he went anywhere but the Astros.
Okay.
Especially, I'd be surprised if he went back to the Red Sox. All
right. So Jim, who do you think he's playing for next year?
It depends. I can't really tell that right now. I have to wait until after the All-Star.
Are you leaning towards anyone right now?
No, I'm not.
I'm leaning towards the Red Sox.
Matt has that little niche on his back for the Red Sox. So, also, what do you got to say about it? Mac, who do you think he's gonna go to?
I'd be surprised if he went anywhere but the Astros, and especially, do you hate him for being on both teams?
Yep, I hate Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens not a ball player at heart. He's not. He's a ball player. He's got the skills. He's for the money. Look at him. Red Sox, Blue Jays, Yankees.
But if
Yankees.
You remember when he was on the Red Sox and when he left the Red Sox, the rivalry was not as big. I don't think the rivalry was a big deal until like a couple years ago when the Red Sox won the World Series.
The rivalry.
We weren't talking much about the rivalry.
The rivalry
years
was
ago.
The big deal when Babe Ruth. That's when it all started.
That's
and
how
we talked about this.
That's how it started, but it wasn't a big thing. Nobody referred to it as the Red Sox Yankees big rivalry. You know, now it's a big thing, and we'll leave that segment for now. We'll go to Greg Maddux. We talked about last week, and Mike just has a few words on Maddux getting six wins. Wow.
Maddux. Woo. He's looking to make it a six.
And he's on my fantasy
tonight.
Team. Looking to make it six, right.
Okay. Guys, the way Maddux is performing, 40-year-old, 42-year-old,
something around there.
Oh, he's definitely 40, yep.
For his age?
That's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
It's his best start of his career.
Best start of his career.
ERA.
Yes, and that is amazing. As Matt said, under 1.50 ERA. Actually, it's under 1.30.
I think it was 0.99 last time, so did
that,
it go
that
down?
Was after three wins. It went up a little bit. So, him and also Pedro Martinez. Hate the guy.
Yes.
Yankee fan.
But he's doing
great.
He's
on the Red Sox and on the Mets.
Martinez.
Hate him.
Die hard Mets fan.
Not get any worse.
I'm a diehard Mets fan, so
okay.
You know.
Yeah, you can suck it. Suck it. Okay. Pedro Martinez. Hate him. Hate him.
All right, but he's doing great.
Who do you think?
Yeah, me too.
Any of them? Maddux or Pedro? Who do you think is going to win Cy Young? Any of them?
No.
No?
Honestly, I don't.
Oh. Well, I'm going to go with Maddox. I don't see anybody right now. I mean, that's a very early question. You know, there should be a law against asking that question this early. But, I mean, you know, if anybody right now, if the season ended right now, it'd have to be Greg Maddox. Just because he's not on top of the fact that he's doing unbelievable. He's old. He's not in his prime anymore. And well, he's still doing
it. You got to think of that. He's old.
He's still showing us that he can do it all.
Maybe his arm isn't going to last the whole 162 games.
Well, I think... Okay. Pedro Martinez is going to be the Cy Young of this year. He got his 200th win this year, and if not the Cy Young, the NL Cy Young, definitely. Right. Got his 200th win this year. I think, is he still undefeated?
Yes, he is.
Yes,
about there's nobody else in the NL
besides
we can
Maddox?
Think of right now. And,
no,
and Martinez.
Maddox and Martinez.
Oh, the undefeated guy?
Brunson Arroyo is definitely in there.
And Juan Rodriguez.
The Pedro's going to have a better... is going to have better season than Maddox because...
He's not out of his prime yet.
Because
really.
No, because Pedro has the hitting behind him. I mean, Beltran,
right.
All those good players. Chicago,
right.
I mean, Derek Lee just went down with his elbow or something like that.
That's
they really don't have...
Oh, yes, that's a very good point. Very
they
good
really
point.
Don't have any run... Greg Maddox doesn't get any run support.
He can pitch unbelievable and still...
And still lose
the
game.
Right.
I mean, if Pedro pitched the same way Maddox did, Pedro would win 9 out of 10 times because he has a better team. That's why I think Pedro will end up doing better than Maddox and Pedro will win the Cy Young.
Well, you know, you just made a point, Jim. Maddox has got, he's doing as good as he is now, and he doesn't have that good of a team to be along with him.
I know.
So you're saying Maddox and Pedro are doing equally well, and Pedro's got a better team to go with him. So Pedro, what if he goes, okay, let's say he goes 24-0. What if I know, it's not going to happen. What if he gives up 9 runs in one game? He's got the team behind him to support that, and maybe they could score. Greg Maddox does not have the team. He gives up 9 runs.
Very good point.
He gives up 9 runs. He's done.
Just to let you guys know, Jimmy DeFalco was the one that brought that point up.
Yes. You gotta
and Jimmy DeFalco just said that.
And Matt Rowan's not doing anything.
All right. Let's.
Well, I disagree with all you guys and say Roy Oswalt's going to win the NL.
That's great.
I mean, NL.
All right. Matt, we're going to shut it down for today. I think, is there any other topic in baseball we want to discuss here?
No.
Not really? All right. That's going to do it for Sports Talk Radio for today. We had a jam-packed show. That's going
to
do it
Wait,
for
Matt
us.
Matt has to say one more thing.
All right, I just have to say one more thing. It's about the NBA playoffs. Lakers right now holding a 3-1 lead over the Phoenix Suns. Go Lakers. They're going to win the series.
I'm sorry. Is this an NBA show too?
No, it is NBA. Okay. It's about sports. Right. So I'm saying go Lakers because they're winning the series.
Okay.
Go Rangers. Oh, wait. They got eliminated.
We'll see you next week on Sports Talk Radio. It's all about baseball and football as we will have Mike DeSani and Matt Rowan with us during the weeks. Keep in mind that it will be Nick Cazzola over the weekend. He'll join us for the weekend shows. I'm Mac Rosenberg.
I'm Matt Rowan.
I'm Jimmy DeFalco.
And I'm Mike DeSantis.
At least we think we're all those people. We'll be back maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. We don't know, but we'll be back soon on Sports Talk Radio.